But later she did her undergraduate work in Barnard and then her master's from Columbia. But really, now known as a Torah teacher around the country and around the world, she has her position at Stern College where she teaches Tanakh, but she travels quite a bit teaching, lecturing, educating, and also writing a little bit. And it's wonderful for us to have the opportunity to welcome Professor Smadar Rosenzweig.
Okay, thank you. It's really such a pleasure to be here today. And I'm very happy that I arrived and I made it here. what I'd like to speak about today is the idea of destiny and initiative in Tanakh. The formal name is the fall and rise of Shevet Levi. Can destiny be reimagined in Tanakh? What we're going to do today is really a several-fold attempt. Number one, we're going to see in the Pshat. What do we see in the Pshat about Shevet Levi? Right? How do they transform from the story that we have in Sefer Bereshit, in the book of Genesis, and how we see Shevet Levi continuing? Another thing that we're going to look at is, is your destiny really set when you are already described, when your narrative is already told in Sefer Bereshit? We know that the Ramban, Nachmanides, speaks about Sefer Bereshit, the book of Genesis, as Sefer Yetzirah, Sefer Ha'avot, the book of the forefathers, and everything that happens in Sefer Bereshit, in the book of Genesis, sets the stage for all of Jewish history. Ramban really codifies this in the idea of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim. Now, Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim, whatever happened to the forefathers is going to happen to future generations, is really twofold. Number one, it's whatever the Avot did, whatever the forefathers did. We imitate them. They are our role models, right? And they really set the behavior patterns for future generations. But also what happens is when they act in a certain way, that sets the tone for Jewish history, which means events that happen to them will constantly happen over and over to future generations. For example, the story of Avraham going down to Mitzrayim, that's why future generations had to go down to Mitzrayim and then come up, which means many times when one of the forefathers did an act, right, it sets the tone and sets the stage, not only that they are our role models and we repeat their actions, but it also sends a certain kind of energy into history that these are the events and this is the way so-called, right, that the DNA of a certain group is going to really unfold and express itself. For example, just to give an example, in Sefer Bereshit, we have the narrative of the story of Yehuda. And what happens with Yehuda, with Judah? Yehuda is the one who is willing to sell Yosef, right? He's willing to sell Yosef, and the brothers sell Yosef because Yehuda has charisma, he has leadership personality, and the brothers listen to him. But after the selling of Yosef, what happens to Yehuda? Yehuda, vayered Yehuda me'etechav. He leaves his brothers. He almost falls into this abyss of separating himself from the family, not being connected to the family. His two sons die, right? And only through Tamar does he have redemption, that he comes back to family, comes back to family responsibility. So much so, right, that later on when Bnei Israel go down to Mitzrayim, he's the one who represents them to redeem Yosef, to admit to the family, right? And to make sure that he's responsible for Binyamin, and he's the one to address Yosef. So in the end of Sefer Bereshit, what do we have? The bracha to Yehuda is Lo yasur shevet Yehuda, mi Yehuda umichokek mi ben raglav, ad ki yavoshi lo velo yikatamim. Meaning that the scepter will not veer from Judah. And they are going to be the ones who are going to be kings. So what do we see in the book of Genesis, in Bereshit, right? The events that happen to individuals set the stage for all of Jewish history. Already in the book of Genesis, in Sefer Bereshit, Yehuda, the tribe of Judah, received the blessing of Malchut, of kingship. So we see that whatever happens in Sefer Bereshit really sets the stage for the future of all Jewish history. What do we know about David HaMelech? He comes from Shevet Yehuda. Right? And this was already set in Sefer Bereshit. So our question for today is, does it mean that everything that happens in Sefer Bereshit is set in stone in a way, and you can't really change your narrative? Or do we find, as we always find in Yahadut, the idea of tshuva, the idea of tikkun, the idea of redemption, in which even though certain aspects are there in Sefer Breshit, in the book of Genesis, your character, your personality, right? In Tanakh, many times a certain shevet or a certain group have a certain kind of personality or traits that then have to be channeled in certain ways. What we're going to see is that with Shevet Levi, that's why I titled it The Fall and Rise of Shevet Levi, which means in Sefer Breshit, really Levi shows certain character traits of kana'ut, of zealotry, of intense family loyalty, right? But in the end, we're going to see in Sefer Breshit that Shevet Levi receives a rebuke from Yaakov Avinu in the brachot to all the sons. So does that mean that that is going to be the whole future of Shevet Levi? They're going to just be remembered for the individuals, right, who sold Yosef, who destroyed the city of Shechem? What will happen later on? And how do we see that as part of the fabric of Yahadut, of family, destiny, and on the other hand, initiative? So what we're going to see, just as in life, and Tanakh is such a beautiful reflection, right, in Dvar Hashem, of the intricacies and the subtleties of life, what we're going to see in Tanakh and in the Parshanut today, mostly, I'm going to use Rashi and his use of Midrash, right? But we could do this for a whole semester, right? Just this idea. But for today, we're mostly going to be looking at Rashi and his use of Midrash and also his Parshanut. What we're going to see is how does Shevet Levi transform? What happens from the Sefer Breshit, right, all the way to the end of Sefer Dvarim? What is really happening to Shevet Levi, and how do they transform themselves? How do they rewrite their narrative, in a sense, by changing, right, and really sublimating and also focusing and channeling certain character traits that they really become the religious leaders of Am Yisrael? So let's begin with number one. We're going to start with the story of Shechem. Why am I starting with the story of Shechem and the story of Dinah? Because that's the first time that we hear that Shimon and Levi act. So we're starting with number one, source number one. And I really want to start all the way with Pasuk Kaf Aleph, verse 21. Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Now we all know the story, right? Dinah is taken by Hamor, by Shechem and by Hamor, right? And the brothers are very upset. Yaakov is very upset. And they make a plan. Right? They say, if you will circumcise yourself and become part of our people, then you can marry Dinah, and we will marry your daughters, and you can marry into us, and we're going to be one family. Right? That is the plan that the sons of Yaakov tell Shechem and Hamor, the leaders of the city of Shechem. So we're in Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Ha'anashim ha'ele shlemim hem itanu. When Shechem and Hamor want to convince the whole community, yes, circumcise yourself, because Yaakov and his family are going to become one with us, and we are going to become one community. So they convince them by saying they are shleimim itanu, they're whole with us, they're at peace with us, right? They're going to sit in this land, they're going to do business with us, right? And we'll be able to marry their daughters, vet bnoteihem nikach lanu lenashim, vet bnoteinu niten lahem. Which means, what is the symbol of connectedness? The fact that you'll marry their daughters, right? And they will marry your daughters as well. And what happens? The whole city listens to Shechem, and we all know the story. They all circumcise themselves. So here we have, right, Shechem and the whole community really agreeing to circumcise themselves, and as a result, they are going to be one unit with Am Yisrael. So what happens at Pasuk Kafe 25? Vayhi bayom ha-shlishi, on the third day, biotam koavim, when everyone is in agony after they had this brit milah, their circumcision, vayikhu shnei bnei Yaakov, the two sons of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, the brothers of Dinah. So it's very interesting that Shimon and Levi are identified as the brothers of Dinah, right? Shimon and Levi, ish harbo, each one takes their sword, vayavo al ha'ir betach, they come to the city which is so secure about itself, because they agreed to have this peace treaty with Am Yisrael, with Yaakov and his sons, vayahargu kol zachar. So here Shimon and Levi come to a city that's thinking peace, and they come at war, and they kill every single male citizen in this city, and they use the sword. right? A few prakim ago, who got the blessing of the sword? Esav. Al charbacha tichyeh. What is always the symbol of Yaakov? Hakol kol Yaakov, the voice of Yaakov. So here we already see that the sons of Yaakov are using Esav's tools, are using the sword, right, in order to really solve this problem, right? So what's happening is they're really splitting away from Yaakov in a sense, because till now, how did Yaakov always solve? Hakol kol Yaakov, he used a certain kind of language, speaking, right, an intellect. And here we see that Shimon and Levi are taking a different modus operandi in order to solve this issue. And what happens? Ve'et chamor, pasuk avav. Not only do they kill all the males in the city, then they kill Chamor and Shechem. Really, what would you expect? Maybe they should kill Chamor and Shechem first, because they're the real perpetrators who took Dina. Then, right, destroy the city, right? But what else do they do? Right? They also kill Chamor and Shechem lefi charev. Even if they just did this, then we would say, maybe this is okay, right? All the males in the city, famous Ramban, maybe they should have set up court systems that you can't really attack a woman and take her and rape her, and then everything's okay. So maybe the whole city is responsible, maybe, right? But clearly, all the Mefarshim agree that maybe Shechem and Chamor are responsible. And if anything, maybe they should have been the first ones to get the retribution. But look what happens further on. What happens further on, Ubnei Yaakov ba'u ala chalalim, the sons of Yaakov come to all the people who were killed, and all of the individuals who were injured also, but mostly it's the fallen, the dead. Vayavozu ha'ir asher tim'u et achotam. They take from the spoils. Which means, ad hominem, we can understand. Right? The people who are responsible, they should be killed. But to now take the spoils from the city is going the next step. What do we say about Amalek? What do we say about Shaul? Right? What do we say about Haman? Right? The fact that they wanted to take from the bizarre, and that takes away from the religious and moral high ground that you have. What do we know about the Jews in Yericho? They weren't allowed to take from the cherem. They weren't allowed to take from the spoils. Why? To show that we're just doing it for the religious moral idea and not for the money, not for the booty. So what Bnei Yaakov are doing, by taking the spoils, they're already showing, already really exhibiting, right, not such a high moral and ethical level. Not only that, Pasuk Kavchet 28, ve'et sonam ve'et bekaram ve'et chamorehem ve'et asher ba'ir ve'et asher basadeh lakachu. Not only is it enough that they take the bizan, all the possessions, they take all the sheep, they take all the cattle, everything in the city and everything in the field. Which means, not only are they punishing the individuals for what they did to Dina, they are now really taking everything, right, collateral damage to the city. And not only that, again, you have to understand why the Pshat in the Torah is really writing this with such detail. Not only that, says Pasuk 29, Kaftet, ve'et kol chelam, ve'et kol tapam, ve'et neshehem, shavu. What they do, any kind of soldier, any kind of child, any kind of wife, right, any kind of woman, they took them into captivity. Right? And not only that, again it says, Vayavozu et kol asher babayit, and they took every single possession that anyone had in the home. Which means, here are Bnei Yaakov. If this was a moral battle, right, then definitely killing Chamor and Shechem. Maybe killing the males. But taking everyone into captivity, taking every single possession that there is anywhere, whether in the home, whether in the field, right, is a big question. Why would they go to such an extent? Is this moral? Is this ethical? And that's why we could see what Yaakov's response is. Pasuk Lamed, 30. Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon ve'el Levi. Now this is very important, which means when Yaakov wants to rebuke the sons, who does he rebuke? The instigators, Shimon and Levi. They're the main instigators here. Achartem oti lahavisheni biyoshev haaretz bakna'ani ubaprizi. What does he say to them? Right? Achartem oti. You have sullied my reputation. Right? Lahavisheni. Right? To make me smell, to make me immoral, to make me seem low in the eyes of the ones who are settled in this land, the Kna'ani and the Prizi. Va'ani matei mispar. I am so few. If they see me in this way, right? V'ne'esfu alai v'hikuni v'nishmadeti ani u beti. right? We are going to be destroyed. And there are two ways to explain this. Either they're going to come and take revenge, and we're so few. And since you destroyed everything, if they take revenge, how are they going to take revenge? Also to destroy everybody, right? The women and the children, the families, all the males, right? Take every single possession. Or, right, by you doing this, you've destroyed my reputation, right? So it's a double entendre here in that sense. So what are Shimon and Levi's answers? Hakizona yaset achotenu, which means what did they do? They already ruined our reputation by taking Dina. And by treating her in that way, and if we would not respond, what would that mean? That would mean that we don't care about these things. So we're going to see how the Mefarshim explain this, which means we have both sides in the Mefarshim. So we see something very interesting here. First, just in the Pshat, we see that Levi, the first time we see Shimon and Levi acting in Tanakh, in Sefer Breshit, it's in this way. Kana'ut, right? Fierce family loyalty to really defend the honor of Dina, but they go against Yaakov Avinu's ideas, which means Yaakov is very upset with the actions that they took, and they did not consult Yaakov. Now, this is very interesting because we have three incidents already. We have Reuven who switches the beds. We have Shimon and Levi who don't go according to what Yaakov wanted. We have later on, right, that Yehuda, Ma Betza, is willing to sell Yosef, right? So what we have here is kind of a move away from Yaakov's authority, right, within Am Yisrael. And later on, we have many Mefarshim who explain that through the whole crisis where Yosef is sold, Yaakov is always called Yaakov, not Yisrael. Because the fact, right, the fact that the Nevuah was taken away from Yaakov, right, was a result from his terrible anguish over the selling of Yosef. So the authority of Yaakov, and Yaakov being the central role model for the Shvatim, is really very important. And what Shimon and Levi are doing is not just, right, embarrassing Yaakov before the people of the land. They are undermining Yaakov's authority. And that is really the basis of all of Am Yisrael. Avram's authority, Yitzchak's authority, Yaakov's authority, then Shiftei Ka's authority. But you can't undermine Yaakov's authority, right, as long as he is around. That is the pillar, right, of what Am Yisrael stands on, of the pillar of the Avot. So let's see what the different Mefarshim say. First, we're starting with the Breshit Rabbah. That is the earliest level of Parshanut that we have, is the Midrash. So number two, Vayomer Yaakov al Shimon ve'el Levi, achartem oti. So what do Rabbanan say? What do the rabbis say? Tzlula haita chavit ve'achartem ota. Till now, everything was clear. My reputation was clear, like a clear barrel, right? What did you do? You muddied the waters, which means I was on a high moral level. Everyone knew what Yaakov stood for. And now that you acted in this way, on the one hand, you said we're going to have a Brit Milah, we're going to be, we have a treaty with you, right? Shleimim him, right? And now, if we go against our treaty, what will that show? We're not men of our word, right? We don't really keep our word. And here, instead of punishing the people who deserve punishments, what do? Collateral damage, and maybe the punishment was way too extreme. I didn't copy them for you because I knew we had a short amount of time, but this is a huge discussion in the Rambam and the Ramban. What was wrong what Bnei Yaakov did? Okay. Now let's look at the next view in this same midrash. We're on number two still. Look at next line at the end of the line. Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Simon, Achura haita chavit vitzilalnu ota, vayomru hachozona, which means, what are they saying? The brothers are saying, you got it all wrong. They're saying, we made Bnei Israel look moral and ethical. Because what was the attitude of the Amin? You could do anything you want to women. You could take them and no one cares about it. We showed everybody that if you touch our women, right, we really care about them and there will be consequences. So according to the Midrash, there are two different views, right? Who is really holding the moral high ground? Is it Yaakov? Or is it Shimon and Levi? The different views. Now let's go down. Rabbeinu Bachya says, "Achartem oti." What does it mean, "Achartem oti"? It means lishpoch dam chinam, which means how can you spill innocent blood? They did do a Brit Milah. They did accept a treaty with us. So by killing them, you're sending the message, right, that you're allowed to kill for no reason. Chinam. And that really relates and reflects poorly on us. Hareyu la'anshei shlomam. Next line, right? The fourth and fifth and sixth words in. Hareyu la'anshei shlomam. What did they get to say? If you make a treaty with Yaakov, it's not worth anything because we're not men of our word. So if we hurt the people who make treaties with us, what is going to be the attitude in the whole nation where we're joining now? We're coming into Eretz Canaan. No one will trust us. And what is the trust of Yaakov? His word is his bond. Hakol kol Yaakov, right? That is what his whole reputation is based on. Let's go on further. The Svardo, also a different view, right? Lahavisheni, sheshikarnu be'emunatenu achar shenimolu. They already did the Berit Milah. They wanted to join our people on whatever level that they understand, right? So if we told them that you can marry into our daughters and we're going to be one unit after you do a Berit Milah, we lie to them, right? So it's not even that we're killing, right, indiscriminately, which is wrong, even according to the Sforno. But he's saying, Shishikarnu ben munatenu achar shenimol. They already did the Brit Milah. So you're going to say that once you join the covenant, now we can undo it? Which means once you join the covenant, you're part of the covenant. That also will undo this whole idea of the religion that Avraham Avinu was starting. So these are very big issues. So what do we see? There are questions about what Shimon and Levi did. Most of the Mefarshim, right, and the Midrashim really see the actions of Shimon and Levi, right, as very questionable. Which means they definitely, even if they did keep the moral high ground on one level, the extent to which they really attacked the city is way beyond the parameters that really are proper, and that Yaakov really is criticizing correctly. So now we're going to the next piece, and again, we're going to see the language, and then we're going to see the parshanut. We come to Mechirat Yosef, and as we said earlier, right, we can only get to Mechirat Yosef, how? Only after what happens when Shimon and Levi in Shechem, because what did Shimon and Levi do in Shechem? They questioned the authority of Yaakov, which means Yaakov doesn't think this is the right thing to do, and they answer, Chizona Yaseh Achotenu, and from then on, we really see a disintegration, right, that the sons think that they can act against Yaakov's authority. What do we see? Number three, Mechirat Yosef. That's the next main issue that I'd like to discuss, separate from, and as we mentioned, right, Reuven also moving the beds, which also undermines Yaakov's authority. So number three, we're starting with Pasuk Dalet. Vayir'u echav ki oto ahav aviyem mikol echav, vayisnu'u oto velo yachlu dabro l'shalom. Which means once the brother saw that Yaakov loves Yosef, now what is happening here, right? We have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi all failed on some level. Who's the next major bechor to a major mother in the family? It's Yosef. So after the disappointment with the other bechorim, right, who is the next major bechor in line? It's going to be Yosef. So Yosef is the next leader, and Yaakov sees he has great potential, and the brothers see that he loves him more than all the other brothers. Velo yachlu dabro l'shalom. Now again, this is a great response. Meaning, what does it say earlier? Right? Ha'anashim ha'ela shleimim hem itanu. Right? They are at peace with us. They are united with us. And what is the criticism there? That the Bnei Yaakov spoke, right, in a way that they didn't mean in their hearts. So just turn, keep your hand here also, but just turn to the next page where you see the Rashi that's connected with this, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Dalet, the first Rashi on that on page 3. What does Rashi comment? And he's commenting from the Midrash. V'lo yachlu dabro l'shalom. What does it say? Mitoch gnutam lamadnu shivcham. Shelo dibru echad papeh v'echad balev. Meaning, what is the level at least? What's the advancement that we see here? That at least what aren't Bnei Yaakov doing at this point? They're at least saying what they mean. So Rashi wants to say, at least this is a step up. Which means they're not saying something, right, and thinking something else. What was the problem with Shechem? On all levels there was subterfuge, right? But here we see, right, that what they're saying is what they mean. Because why would Rashi point it out? Because again, we're going to see that Rashi is going to use everything that has to do with Shimon and Levi as a juxtaposition all to each other. So that's a shita, and that's one of the things I'd like to point out today. So that's number one. Let's go back to our psukim on page two. So that's number one. Number two I want to read, right? They're all going to look and herd the sheep, son Avihem, in Shechem. Where did the whole story of Dinah happen? In Shechem. which means Rashi is also going to see this opportunity as an opportunity for tikkun. Here you have the two brothers who went against Yaakov. What should be their chance to really redeem themselves in Shechem? Not to sell Yosef. And what are we going to see? That not only are Shimon and Levi going to be involved with all the brothers, according to the Midrash, who were the instigators to destroy and to kill Yosef? It's Shimon and Levi, according to the Midrash. So instead of using the opportunity, same place, same time, what do we say about tshuva? Tshuva is if you're in the same situation, in the same way that you redeem yourself and you don't repeat your sin, and that shows that you have a certain kind of tikkun and redemption. What we're going to see that Shimon and Levi, instead of doing that, they are only emboldened by what they did in Shechem. And at least in Shechem, what did they do? They really acted to defend their sister, to defend their sibling. And what's going to happen here? They're going to be in the same place, in the same situation, and instead of defending a sibling, right, they are going to antagonize a sibling, which means they are going to plan to destroy Yosef. So again, we're going to understand why the words of Yaakov to Shimon and Levi are so harsh in the end of Sefer Bereishit. Because not only do they do it once, they come into that same situation and they don't redeem themselves. They have that opportunity. That's what Tanakh's all about. You see people going in similar situations and they have opportunities to redeem themselves. So let's go on in Mechirat Yosef. So we see one is the Lo Yachlu Dabro L'Shalom. They can't speak with peace with him. Number two, they're in Shechem. That's the place, right, where we expect all these things to happen. Number three, let's go to Pasuk Yudchet. Okay, Pasuk Yudchet, few lines down. Vayir'u oto merachok, they see him from afar. Ubeterem yikrav alehem, and before he comes close to them, vayitnaklu oto lahamito, they already plan to kill him. Vayomru ish elachiv, and we're going to see in Berchot Yaakov, when one brother says to the other, Hine ba lachalomot alazeba, the dreamer is coming, va'ata lechu v'nahargehu, let's kill him, right? Who are the two brothers who are speaking one to the other? According to the Midrash, it's Shimon and Levi, which we're going to read very soon. Which means, what do we see here? We see here an opportunity to really transform, an opportunity to really redeem yourself from that early situation of being hot-headed and punishing so severely for an event, right, and going beyond what is appropriate. Just like we saw the Medrash said, and Rabbeinu Bachya said, Lishpoch dam chinam, to muddy the waters. So now let's go to Rashi. Let's see what Rashi says here. Page 3. So we did number one, Lo Yachlu Dabro L'Shalom. Look again. Next Rashi, I want to do Vayavo Shechema. They come to Shechem. And again, what does Rashi say? Makom Muchan L'Puranut. This is a place that's always ready for bad things to happen. Again, what is Rashi also saying? This is a place, they're in the same place at the same time. What should happen here? They have the opportunity to do tshuva and they don't. And not only that, Pasuk Yud Zayin in Rashi, what does it say? Nas'u mizeh. They distance themselves from brotherhood. What did they show at least with the issue with Dina? That they were a unit, the brothers. And not only that, that they cared about their sister. And here what we see, they're distancing themselves from brotherhood. Which means at least that good midah, that good trait that they had of brotherhood, they're even distancing themselves at that moment. So again, we see what Rashi is trying to say here. So now we come to our last piece in Sefer Bereishit, the pièce de résistance in Bereishit, the biblical narrative of Bereishit. We saw with Yehuda as we started this she'ur, Yehuda becomes king because Yaakov gives him the bracha because he shows all those qualities in Sefer Bereishit. So what are we going to do with Levi? Does Levi have those qualities? What qualities did we see with Levi? We saw Mechirat Yosef and we saw the issue with Shechem. So what is Yaakov going to address? Those two issues. So Shimon and Levi have a tochacha, have a rebuke in Sefer Bereishit, and not really a bracha in that sense. But it's not a klala, it's not a curse, it's just rebuke, it's a tochacha. And what we're going to see is the way you take tochacha, the way you take rebuke, right, can really set you on your path for life. On the one hand, we are going to see that Shimon, who gets the same bracha, tochacha, rebuke, just, advice, that Levi receives, Shimon, we almost never hear of him in Torah. We're going to see one area where we do, and we almost never hear about him in Tanakh. And yet Shevet Levi, we are going to see how they have developed throughout the generations. A total different direction than we have from Shevet Shimon. What does it say in the Brachot? We're on number four. Shimon v'Levi achim klei chamas mecheroteim. Shimon and Levi are brothers, and they always use the weaponry of war. B'sodam al tadvon nafshi. In their secrets, I don't want my name to be mentioned. B'kahalam al techad kvodi. Whenever people gather together, I don't want my name to be mentioned as well. And we just passed this week's Parsha, Parshat Korach. That's the most famous example that what happens. We don't identify Korach all the way to Yaakov because he doesn't want to be identified with the congregation of Korach. Ki ba'apam hargu ish. Right? They killed an entire nation, right, with their anger. And we're going to see Rashi, according to the Medrash, interprets it how, right? They killed the people of Shechem. And number two, ubir tzonam ikru shor. According to Rashi, who did they undermine? Yosef. So the two main events, the two main things that they did in Sefer Breshit are being reminded here in the Brachot of Yaakov. Arur apam ki az. Look at the two things that are mentioned in Vav and Zayin. What is he criticizing? What's apam? Their anger. Which means he's not cursing them. He's not criticizing them. But their anger, their hot-headedness has led them in the wrong direction. Ve'evratam ki kashata. Their anger is too hard. Achalkeim b'Yaakov, afitzeim b'Yisrael. So I'm going to really spread them around in Am Yisrael. When they're all together, right, they are too harsh. So let's see what Rashi says. Again, Rashi is quoting the Midrash. We want to do this according to the Shita of Rashi. How does Rashi see all this thing with Shevet Levi? Shimon v'Levi achim, we're on Pasuk Hey. Shimon v'Levi achim be'etza achat al Shechem v'al Yosef. They always agreed together everything that had to do with Shechem and Yosef. So they're both being criticized for the destruction of Shechem and for what they did to Yosef. How do we see that? He brings in the pasuk, Vayomru ish el achiv. When the brothers speak one to the other, Rashi says it's Shimon and Levi speaking one to the other. Next, Klei Hamas, a few lines down. It's underlined. The next Rashi, Klei Hamas, Umanut zoshel ritzicha, Hamasu bidehem mibirkat esavhi. Which means when they are killing the city of Shechem and they wanted to kill Yosef, who acts that way? Esav. I didn't give the bracha al charbacha techia to Shimon and Levi. Al charbacha techia was given to Esav. How could the Bnei Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, use the sword? Right? It's not correct. Next, pasuk vav. Right? Al besodam al tavon nafshi. Zema ases zimri. We're going to see, right, that when Pinchas takes the romach, takes the spear in his hand, and kills Zimri ben Salu and Kazbi Batsur, right, also there, we don't identify Zimri back to Yaakov because he doesn't want to be identified. And also, B'kehalam, what other group, as we mentioned earlier, doesn't Yaakov want to be identified with? The Kahal, the Eda of Korach. Let's go down. Ki ba'apam hargu ish. With their anger, they killed a man. Elu chamor ve'anshei Shechem. Yaakov is upset that they killed the city of Shechem. Even in his brachot, the last days of his life, he is reminding them that what they did with Shechem was incorrect. Number two, ubir tsonami krushor, ratzula akorit Yosef. They wanted to destroy Yosef. So Rashi very strongly wants to bring in these two ideas. Their actions in Shechem and their actions with Yosef were absolutely incorrect. Arur apam ki az, and Rashi brings a beautiful midrash. Afilu bishat tochacha lo kilel ela apam. Still, what is Yaakov criticizing? Only their anger. Which means their initial impulse of love for their sister, their idea that zealousness sometimes has a place, definitely he agrees. But how did they always use this? And the Malbim really develops this beautifully. But every time when you act out of anger, even if your ideas are good and even some of your goals are good, it will always end up incorrectly because anger has no place in these kind of actions. Anger always is going to lead to extremism, always going to lead into a way of acting not with intelligence, not with chokhmah. right? Not in a way that will keep the barrel clear. It always muddies the waters. So that is what Yaakov's criticizing, right? But what are we seeing here? Maybe there is some good potential in Shimon and Levi. The idea of being focused, the idea of having certain values, right, can be channeled in the right way. So where do we see that all this is channeled in the right way? We start with Sefer Shmot. So let's go to page 4. And we see that this is all channeled in the right way. Of course, where do we see this? Didn't you always wonder, right? Why does it say, Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, vayikach et bat Levi? We're on number 5. Sources, Shmot Perek Bet, we're source number 5. Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. How can we start the whole story of Levi with beit Levi and bat Levi? How come we don't have individual names? Because really, this is the beginning of the redemption of all of Shevet Levi. And that's why we call it beit Levi and bat Levi, which means they exemplify Levi, which means Levi does redeem itself now in its actions, that they take the tochacha that they got in the end of Sefer Breshit from Yaakov Avinu and transform and sublimate and really do a transference of these actions, of these midot, of kanaut, of zealousness, of morality, of caring for siblings. And who really do it? Really, it starts with Miriam and Yocheved. It's the women of Shevet Levi who really redirect the entire family in a different way, which means it's Miriam and Yocheved that care about Moshe. It's Miriam and Yocheved that hide him. It's Miriam and Yocheved where we'll see the language is so beautiful, how we see the connections here. What happens here? Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. And once she has a child, she sees he's good and she hides him for 3 months. When she can't hide him anymore, she puts him in a teva, and she makes sure that it's waterproof, and she puts the child in, and she puts him on the side of the Ya'or. And what happens? The sister, v'tetatzav achoto merachok, l'de'a maya selo. What does it say about Shimon and Levi? V'yiru oto merachok, they see him from afar, they already want to kill him. What do we see here? We see that the sister now wants to save the brother. And how does she want to save the brother? In a way that doesn't use any tools of mass destruction or any kind of destruction. In the most life-giving form, by putting him in a teva, by watching from afar, and using her language with a non-Jewish neighbor, with Bat Paro, in order to make sure to save Moshe. So again, we see there's a total tikkun, a total contrast, using the same characters in order to do a tikkun totally. See what power we nashim have? Right? To really transform everything that's happening within the family. Because it's their actions that set the tone for the entire family. And not only that, they discuss with Bat Paro what's going to be with the child. So much so, understand this. Pasuk Yud. Vayigdal hayeled vativieu lebat Paro. In the end, what do? They bring Moshe to the house of Paro. What did Shimon and Levi do? They grab Dina, kill everybody in order to take Dina out. What happens here? Unbelievable, right? Moshe is brought into the house of Paro after he has imbibed all his Jewish and Israelite, right, background and roots, but they complete the bargain. What was the bargain? We're going to nurse the child, and we're going to give him back to you. What could they have done? Kidnapped the child, reneged, run away, right, and not bring him back. So we get to complete tikkun of what is going on. And here we see how the environment, they are positive, right? Bat Paro does complete her end of the deal as well and lets Moshe develop in a way that he knows his roots. Because what does it say later on? Vayetze Moshe Elechav. He goes out to his brothers, which means he knows from where he comes from. So this is so fascinating how we see this is an exact, right, juxtaposition and really a similar situation dealt with in a different way. And who had the koach to really reform and really redeem all of Shevet Levi? Who starts the process? It's Miriam and Yocheved and Bat Paro. The power, right, that the Nashim have in these kind of areas is really just completely overpowering and overwhelming. And later on, what happens when Moshe grows up? Vayetze elechav vayar besivlotam. He goes out to his brothers, and what does he see? He sees their pain. What was the problem with Yosef? When the brothers realize that they are going to be taken by Yosef, what do they say? Ashemim anachnu. We're guilty that we tortured Yosef and we sold him and we didn't care about him, have compassion about him. And what do we see Moshe has? Compassion for his brothers. And when he goes out, what does he see? Vayar ish mitzri. When he sees a mitzri hitting an ivri from his brothers, vayifen kovacho, he turns left and right. Vayar ki einish, vayachet ha mitzri vayitzmeneu bachol. He kills the Egyptian and he hides him in the sand. So again, what do we see about Shevet Levi? Tough, kind of oot. If you deserve a punishment, you deserve it right away. But who does Moshe punish? Just the Egyptian. Just the one individual who's committing the crime. What was the issue with Shimon and Levi? We had the entire city. We had Shechem ben Hamor. We had the women and the children and every single possession. Moshe only punishes the one who's responsible. But let's look further on. Look at Rashi. What's so interesting about Rashi here is that he says a few things. Number one, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayigdal Moshe, look at the last three lines right underneath, three words right underneath Yud Aleph. Sheminahu Paro al Beito. Paro trusted Moshe so much that he appointed him to run his household, which means we see Moshe was totally integrated in that household. Number two, Vayar Besiv Lotam, Natan Einav Libo Liot Meitzar Alehem. Moshe really empathized and felt the torture of Am Yisrael, which means that he had that compassion and he was able to care for his brother. What was the problem with the brothers and Yosef? They didn't feel his pain. They didn't care about him. So we see here that Moshe has that compassion and empathy. Also, Makeh Ish Ivri, what was Moshe killing the Egyptian for? If you look at Rashi, he brings a very interesting midrash that this Egyptian was having illicit relations with a Jewish woman. Why does Rashi bring that in here? It's not in the Peshat at all, right? But it's a very famous midrash that Rashi mentions, and actually very few of the other Mefarshim mention, because what does Rashi want to make a connection with? He wants to make the connection with Dina. With Dina, they were not treating the Jewish woman right. Here, too, they're not treating the Jewish woman right. And what is Moshe standing up for? What does Shevet Levi stand up for? The upright relationships, right, and morality of Am Yisrael and how you treat the Jewish woman. Even more so, again, you really see how Rashi is seeing this all as a tikkun and a redemption. Look at Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayifen kovacho, he looks both ways. He sees what he did to him at home and what he did to him in the field, right? What does it say in the psukim about Shimon and Levi? They took everything from the home. They took everything from the field, right? So again, because they are acting in this immoral way, Vayar ki ein ish atid latzet mimenu. We're doing the next Rashi. Sheit gayer. What does sheit gayer mean? That will convert. What were Anshei Shechem supposed to do? Convert with the Brit Milah. So Moshe sees there's no one in the future that will convert. Because if they were, he wouldn't do this. Because what happened with Shimon and Levi? They killed the people who converted, and that's immoral and wrong. So Moshe is doing a tikkun. So we see Rashi is bringing in the Midrashim to really show how this is a counterpoint for what happened with Shimon and Levi. But it goes even more. Halahargeni ata omer. What was Rashi's criticism of Shimon and Levi earlier? Right? What did they take? Their sword. And we as Bnei Yisrael don't act with the sword. So what does Rashi say? How, this is so famous, we all know it. How did Moshe kill the Mitzri according to the Midrash? Mikan anu lemedim shehargo b'shem hamiforash. He killed him with God's name, not with a sword, not with a cherev, not with a weapon, right? So again, what do we see here that Rashi wants to emphasize? That is a total tikkun, transformation, right, for Shevet Levi is already happening in the beginning of Am Yisrael. So let's see if this continues. Is it just Moshe? Or is it something that continues? And we see that it continues. When it comes to the Egel, we're on number six. When it comes to the Egel, right, and Bnei Israel are worshiping Avodah Zarah, Moshe sees what's happening. He says, Mila Hashem Eli. We're on number six. We're on Pasuk Kavav. Vayamod Moshe. Moshe stands in the gate, and he says, Mila Hashem Eli. We're on number six, and we're on Pasuk 26, Kavav. And who comes to him? Kol Bnei Levi. Now all of Levi come, and what happens here? Kav Zayin. Vayomer lahem ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael simu ish charbo al yirecho. Which means here, instead of doing it in their own mind, right, and their own wish, who is giving the tzivui that they should kill? Hashem. And they're wearing their cherev, right? They are taking their sword. And why are they taking their sword? Because now it's bidvar Hashem. Before they did it on their own, and that was incorrect. But yes, the people who did the egel should be punished. So they are using the sword, because we know Shimon and Levi have that tendency, right, to use their sword, but they're using it only bidvar Hashem. And not only that, it says in Pasuk Kafchet again, Vayasu kidvar Moshe. They did it according to Moshe. They did it kidvar Hashem. And how many people did they kill? 3,000. Now, every time people get killed in Tanakh, what numbers do we usually have? 40,000, 50,000. Many thousand, right? The fact that they only killed 3,000 later on, what do we find out? How many people actually worshiped the Egel? 3,000, which means what is happening here? No collateral damage. What was our big problem with Shimon and Levi in Shechem? They killed everybody beyond the people who were really guilty, and they took prisoners, and they took booty, and they went way beyond. Here what we're seeing is Moshe kills the individual who did the Avera. What do we see with the Egel? B'nai Levi only kill the ones who did the deed, and only the ones, right, that B'dvar Hashem, that according to Hashem and Moshe's command, right, are punishable. So we're already seeing a very interesting development. Let's go to number 7. I got my high five symbol already. So let's go to number 7. In Bamidbar, what do we see in Bamidbar? We're going to come to this parsha really soon. In this parsha, right, in the issue of the Shittim, where we have Pinchas, Zimri ben Salu, and Kazbi Batsur, right? So what is happening here? We're number 7, Pasuk Aleph. Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim, Bnei Israel were in the Shittim, Vayechel Am Liznot et Bnot Moav. Whenever you have Znot, which Shevet comes into play? Shevet Levi, right? And what happens? They call the people, right, not only to have znut with them, immoral behavior, but also to worship Avodah Zarah. And what happens, right? What does Hashem say? Pasuk Dalet, this is very important. Hashem says to Moshe, take all the leaders of the generation and kill them, and then Hashem will be fine. Which means, who are responsible to teach Am Yisrael? The leaders. So if you take the leaders and you kill them, right, then Hashem will be fine. And what does Moshe say? He says to the leaders of Am Yisrael, to the judges, kill everybody who's connected to Baal Peor. So everyone who committed the sin, kill them. And what happens? And one person is so brazen, right? This individual, Pasuk Vav, Vinei Ish mi Bnei Yisrael Ba, Vayakrev Elechav, he comes close to his brother. But what does he do? He has relations with Kazbi Batsur, with this woman from Midian, in front of everybody in public. And it doesn't tell us his name, it doesn't tell us what shevet he's from, it doesn't tell us anything. But who sees this and is horrified? Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, he's from Shevet Levi. And what does he do? He comes from among the people and he takes a romach, a sword in his hand, a spear. And what does he do? He just kills the two individuals who were committing this crime. Who really was asked to be killed? Moshe said, you have to kill all the leaders, right? Hashem said, kill all the leaders. Moshe says to all the judges, you have to kill everyone who is connected with this. What does Pinchas do? He just kills the two individuals publicly in front of everyone, so everyone should know that this is a terrible sin and not to do it. Afterwards, right, there is a magefa in Am Yisrael, this is God sent, Arba'av Esrim Aleph, 24,000. But that's from Hashem. And what does Hashem say? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pinchas ben Elazar heshivet chamati. What did I want to do? Bekanot kinati. Because he was zealous. Because he was a zealot, but only killed those two individuals, right? Vayechaper al bnei Yisrael velo chiliti et bnei Yisrael bekinati. What did Hashem want to do at this point? Destroy all of Am Yisrael. And how did Pinchas stop it? By just killing those two individuals. Now look at the irony of everything. And that's why Hashem's going to give him a brit shalom. And that's why he's going to get kahuna forever. But what's the name of the two individuals? Look at Pasuk Gedalid. Zimri ben Salu Nesi Beit Av Leshimoni. Which means, what do we see? Shimon did not learn the lesson. Did not really internalize the message of the Tochacha of Yaakov. And the only time Shevet Shimon is mentioned is here. They are the ones who are doing the znut. He, the Nasi of Shimon, is acting in this way, right? So what do we see here? Look at the different trajectories each Shevet took. We have Levi went in a certain direction and Shimon went in another direction because each one internalized or didn't internalize the message of Yaakov in a different way. And what is the bracha of Levi? They don't get nachala. They don't go to war. They're not allowed to wear weapons. They don't work, and they have to get matanot from everyone else, but they also don't get bizar when you go to war. They don't get spoils when you go to war. Why don't they get spoils when you go to war? Because, again, they took the spoils in Shechem. So we see a total transformation, so much so that in the brachot of Yaakov, brachot of Moshe Rabbeinu, what are the brachot? Tumecha v'urecha, number 10, because we're finishing up. Number 10, Ule Levi amar tumecha v'urecha le'ish chasidecha. All of a sudden, what does Levi become? Tumecha v'urecha le'ish chasidecha. What does Shevet Levi have? They're the exemplars of chesed. In the beginning, what were they exemplars of? Kana'ut. What else do we see about Levi? It says, right? Kishamru imratecha. What were we worried about in Sefer Breshit about Levi? They're not listening to the word of Hashem. They're not listening to Yaakov. Uvrit chayim soru. They're the guardians of the Brit Milah. According to the Midrash, which Rashi brings in, Shevet Levi are the only Shevet that gave Brit Milah in the Midbar, as opposed to all of Bnei Israel. So again, in the beginning, they were not respectful of the Brit Milah. Now they are respectful of the Brit Milah. Again, total transformation. Yoru mishpatecha liYaakov v'toratcha liYisrael. We're mentioning Yaakov and Israel, which means they redeemed the whole Torah, not only of Israel, but of Yaakov Avinu, which means they are really exemplifying kavod for Yaakov Avinu. And in the end, it says, Berach Hashem chelo upoal yadav tirtzeh. Machatz motnayim kamav umisanav min yikumun. If you're an enemy of Levi, you still have to beware, even though they don't have weapons and they don't do those kind of things, even though Rashi says, but they know when to use it, because you see with the Hashmonaim, when it was necessary to defend Hashem, they used it. What we see from Shevet Levi and this kind of transformation is that we all have certain kind of DNA, we all have certain character traits, and we could really use it in so many different ways. And the beauty of Tanakh and Chazal and Parshanut is that we see how relevant and how insightful with the subtleties and the language and the direction and the idea of tikkun and the idea of personal redemption that we see in Tanakh is that we all have this ability, which means no matter when, no matter how, so many times we're pegged in a certain way, and it's very hard to develop or to move in a different direction, right? Because, you know, sometimes we get entrenched. And what we see here, even in a narrative in Sefer Breshit, where Yaakov gives a certain bracha, we see how Shevet Levi really does transform, really does redirect all of its energies of kana'ut and of those kind of avodot into avodat Hashem, into the right direction, and in a way that is so constructive and really totally redeems everything that went on before. And today we have Shevet Levi really an exemplar, right, of Dvar Hashem and of Torah and other issues as well. So I just want to say, for us, what a privilege it is that Shalanu Nitna, Lanu Nitna Torah, that we are so privileged and really blessed that we are able to have the Torah and have the, you know, Mesorah that goes along with it, to really, you know, learn new things, you know, hafoch ba dekula ba viyu beinecha kechadashim, that we should all be able to internalize all the different messages of Torah and Tanakh, and that we should really be able to continue in our families and our communities, and even for ourselves in this derech. So hatzlacha, and thank you very much.
Thank you again to Professor Rosenzweig. A few quick thank yous as well to, first of all, to Bethia Strauss and Paul Quintus for really your sponsorship.